Do you support the pro-life cause or the pro-choice cause?
I support the pro-choice cause.
Pro-life.
Pro-choice. Pro-choice.
I'm kind of in between.
Abortion, to me, I think it comes down to whether or not you view that as a human life, potential human life, or not a human life at all.
If a woman has a child and she's not able to support it and she won't be able to give it like a proper life and upbringing, then she shouldn't be forced to have one. It's unfair to the woman and the child.
I believe women should have a right and a say on their future and what's happening with their bodies.
Every life is important, no matter how it turns out.
I think it kind of depends on the scenario and what's going on, I guess.
You're listening to Socially Awkward. This week's episode is about abortion.
I think reproductive rights are black and white, right?
No, exactly. And the arguments are pretty cut and dry.
It's terminating a pregnancy. That's what it is. I think even those who advocate for the right to abortion, like the pro-choice movement, there's literally no other way to go about it. There's no other way to say that.
This is Sasha Matsuki. For the past 2 years, she has been the leader of the Pro-Choice Club, directing discussion around the logistics of abortion.
Most of the time, it's a pill that causes a type of, I guess, hemorrhaging is a strong word, but that's basically what happens, and it causes her to miscarry. The abortions that you see a lot of photos of, where it's like the it's a fetus being like clamped by a pair of pincers and then being pulled out, those are third term abortions, which are rarely ever performed, only if the baby has already died in the womb but is not able to be miscarried due to the size or the mother's life is in danger. Those are hardly ever performed. I think those are only performed, from my knowledge, in hospitals, or there's like one doctor who does them, and I'm not even sure if he's still alive. Abortion is, unlike other medical procedures, it's very emotionally taxing. Nobody just goes out and gets an abortion like you buy a jar of pickles or something like that. It's very emotionally taxing, and there's a lot of thought that goes into it.
So what role does legislation play in this thought process? According to Sasha, Supreme Court decisions like Planned Parenthood v. Casey and Roe v. Wade have had a significant influence on women's access to safe abortions.
Roe v. Wade was the first Supreme Court case that basically allowed women to get abortions. The current case that stands as precedent is Planned Parenthood v. Casey, and that is the one that the Supreme Court ruled you cannot unduly burden a woman if she would like to get an abortion. You are allowed to make her wait and things like that, but you can't make her get her husband's consent or like a male partner's consent and things like that. You know, I think they've played a huge role in both allowing women to get abortions and, preventing people who get pregnant from getting abortions. The Supreme Court's decision in Planned Parenthood v. Casey to allow the states to curb women's rights in getting abortions by making them wait, I think that's allowed for a lot of loopholes in states where they want to make women wait, for 72 hours. And for a lot of people, that isn't feasible because they don't have the financial means to, stay in the area where there is one abortion clinic that may be half a state away or in a completely different state. So I think it's as much as it has, allowed, I think is also kind of curbed that right. It's really just the principle of what an abortion is, no matter really how you look at it. I'm pro-choice, but I still recognize that there was the potential for a human life. I think where how you go from that concept is really where the pro-choice and the pro-life movements diverge. There has to be a certain level of understanding that women are people and that their bodies should be treated as such.
Acknowledging how the pro-life and pro-choice movements differ is key to fully grasping the extent of the abortion debate. In an effort to better understand this division, I interviewed Senior Sophia Tragesser, leader of the Pro-Life Club.
I define abortion as any unnatural termination, unnatural intentional termination of a pregnancy. So it's, there's kind of a certain lines, like whether it's like if someone falls and their unborn child is killed, that's still an abortion, but it's different, legally defined, indifferent in my mind, intended versus unintended. I think it does make a big difference. I've been very passionate about life issues in general. So whether it's abortion or protecting lower income families, helping impoverished, helping the elderly, anti-euthanasia. So I've been involved in that pretty much since middle school. It's been a big part of my life, and it's an issue I really think has had terrible consequences, especially in the modern world.
According to Sophia, many women decide to get abortions due to a fear of what others will think.
I think one of the biggest would be fear. A lot of it is fear of what the boyfriend or the partner would think. Fear of what the parents would think is the biggest factor in youth getting abortions. And fear of not being able to care for the child. And I think those are all, those are things that seem really real. And, you know, one's parents could be very aggressive towards a teen pregnancy. And that fear coerces the woman to get an abortion. I don't think any woman ever wants to get one. And I think it's coercion from society. That's a big problem, too. It's society saying, one, saying, you can't do this. Society telling girls, you can't go to school and be pregnant. You'll drop out. That's not true. There's lots of, tons of colleges with great resources for pregnant on campus to help women do both. Because women are strong, independent, capable human beings. And there's lots of people who want to help.
So how would outlawing abortion benefit both the lives of the mother and baby?
I think the biggest effects, if abortion's outlawed, is protecting children. So a big problem with abortion currently is, if you just look at it statistically, the disproportion of people being aborted. So one of the biggest problems is sex-selective abortions, which are essentially, and in general it's women, people kill the baby just because it's a girl. And this can be seen really big in China during the Deng Xiaoping one-child policy years. So that was a huge problem there. And now there's a lot of consequences with gender imbalance, and that's increasing prostitution and sex slavery in the region because of the sex-selective abortions. Also, I think if we outlaw abortion, we'll see less discrimination. In general, I believe roughly 34% of abortions are done on a disproportionate amount of minorities. So more African-American and Hispanics are being aborted than whites. So this actually, if you look back to the documents, the founding documents from Margaret Sanger, this was the intention of certain birth control and abortion. They were intended as a eugenics movement to remove and decrease the amount of African-Americans in the United States. The gains of recognizing these, as officially legally recognizing unborn children as humans, is astronomical, just as it was when we did that with the 13th and 14th and 15th Amendments in the 1800s by recognizing African Americans as real people, human brothers and sisters.
A young woman in her teens, she's not ready to be a mother. She's, you know, being shamed for, you know, either engaging in sexual activity and, you know, for something that probably wasn't her fault or just a bad decision. And then there's economic factors, you know. A lot of people want to pursue higher education. That's very difficult when you have a child, especially if you're a single parent. And I think that a lot of people are personally pro-life but believe in the other people's right to choose. I think that in terms of political rights, they feel that their own lives would be inhibited by having a child so young.
That's it for this episode of Socially Awkward. If you really like the music in this podcast, all of it is found on freemusicarchive.com. From 91.3 WHJE, I'm Maddie Hardin.